Good evening, happy Monday. Welcome to the Stephen Knight Show. We're trying to make it even better for you tonight. Tonight we have a show full of the hottest topics everyone is talking about. We're going to kick it off with our question of the day and then more issues for Diddy. You know, there's been a lot going on with his alleged cases of sexual assault. Donald Trump, he is now selling Bibles. Find out what he has to say about that. And then you know, they used to have the term pause, and then they had no homo. Well, now they have a new one, no Diddy. Find out what people are saying about that. And then Governor Kay Ivey, she is in Alabama, and she has banned all diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. Find out what people are saying about that. And then Chick-fil-A, they're making some adjustments as well. Well, my draw over social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, of course, our official website, StephenKnightShow.com. If you'd rather watch us on our YouTube channel, Stephen Knight Show. When we come back, the question of the day and hot topics, right back after this.
It's KJ on the beat.
All alone, nobody knows.
It's a little secret, that's how we should keep it. Maybe we've been creeping on the low.
No time to waste, it's getting late.
Catch up off the deep end, we're supposed to be here.
But it
feel so good.
PA Dre shit.
Yeah. Just that soulful shit I be talking about, bro.
Facts.
PA Dre, what up? Let's get to it. Look. I'm out west, yelling Jersey like I'm close to home. Was on the block like Moses, this ain't Post Malone. We quoting poems that we never had to plagiarize. Stepping to Goliath till I bring him down to David's size. A shaking fries, a complimented if you talking beef. Penny per thought is even less when your talk is cheap. These subtleties are befuddled, nigga walk with me. Even when I got the pen sealed, they won't sharpen me. They telling tales like these shits are really cautionary. The flow water, but really I be off you fairies. Nothing's arbitrary, I put that on my mama's soul. I'm a man before my sisters play my mama's role. And I'm Nicole, so don't stress where that diamond is. Watching me maneuver like I'm a Sean with the Heimlich is. King of my city if you ask, but they saying them. The mayor trying to give me the keys that I gave to him. I played it with and told Lee I'm talking honest. Plus I got a few bucks like I'm Middleton and Giannis. The road was turbulent, I know to be a little bumpy. I ain't Johnson, but this rap shit got me living comfy. I get it monthly, like, what you end the sentence with? Rap niggas is goofy, they always on some friendly shit. But turn your back and like honor, yeah, they been a dick. Fuck them though, let's appreciate this penmanship. Let's appreciate this penmanship.
Yeah, talk to him.
Hey, yo. Hey, yo. One time for all of the soldiers who never folded and did what they were supposed to do. It's only a chosen few that I can show devotion to. It's hard not getting emotional, cause you stayed solid despite everything you was going through. Was the definition to show and prove. Can't believe you're gone, but I know it's true. So I sing your song in a vocal booth. I wanna be close to you, so I pour out some liquor in the cracks of the concrete where the roses bloom. You was my ace since the playground. Dreamt of running this rap shit, giving the industry a shakedown. Standing at your grave mound, feeling guilty cause shit's starting to shake now. This ain't at all I was supposed to play out. Just know your memory is well protected. Rarely aggressive, but when it comes to the similes, I'm well respected. Pouring my soul through a pencil tip. If you listening, then I hope you appreciating the penmanship. Yeah. My soul through a pencil tip. If you listening, then I hope you appreciating the penmanship.
PC, what up? Let's appreciate this penmanship.
This is Corporate Aaron, and you're listening to the Stephen Knight Show.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. We have a show full of the hottest topics everyone is talking about. And you have it even better because it's me and Linnea tonight. Chica is on vacation and Brittany is traveling. So we love it. We're my draw over Facebook, Instagram, X, TikTok, and of course our official website is StephenKnightShow.com. Rather watch is going on our YouTube channel, Stephen Knight Show. Want to make sure you check out our merchandise. We do have merchandise for you to buy. And then, of course, make sure you register to vote. Now, today is April Fool's Day. Linnea, do you participate in April Fool's Day shenanigans?
No, because life is one big April Fool's.
Right. No. Exactly. Winning the war. But as I said, today is a day full of hot topics, and me and Linnea are going to break it down as we do. But let me ask you this, Linnea. Our question of the day is, could you date someone? Now, I know you've been in a relationship for a long time. Could you date someone that you were physically not attracted to?
I have.
You have?
I have. I have. Because even if it wasn't something physically attractive about them, there was something that attracted me to them, whether it be the personality, I love a good smelling man. he look like Jabba the Hutt. He smell good. I might have a conversation. I have.
Okay. I think it'd be hard, but I do see it happen. And ironically, in our Facebook page, a lot of people say yes, they have. They've done it. So, tweet us at home. Let us know. Could you date someone you're not physically attracted to? Stephen Knight Show, SA Show. All right, Diddy. So things are getting real for Diddy and his business partners. Federal law enforcement sources tell TMZ that any phone providers, computer companies, and commercial airlines, and all of the jet charter companies Diddy has used in the past will receive subpoenas. Now, the feds have started an investigation in all the flight manifests to see who was on Diddy's charter flights and where each plane went. Subpoenas have been sent to the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York, who is leading the investigation. What do you think about this, Linnea? Do you think they have a case? Because they're, you know, we didn't talk about it last week, we were on, but they had the raid at two of his homes, and now they're doing this. Do you think they have something?
I mean, of course, there's always a possibility when it reaches this height, but, you know, I always have to defer to, it's amazing how you can always, the way that they go after people of color versus you have someone who has 91 indictments, a couple. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like nobody's performed any type of raids. Like he's encouraged, you know, hurting people. Most recently, you know, a judge's daughter, and no one is, you know, raiding his establishments and stuff like that. So, you know, we always see the injustice,
yeah,
the racism within the judicial system. So I mean, it'll be interesting as this plays out, to see what happens, because I don't know if they found anything. Don't know if they had anything that was very substantial for them to go in, other than rumors and innuendos and assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, obviously there's an entity or force somewhere that's in play.
Yeah.
So seeing it all play out should be interesting.
Yeah, you say that because, you know, I saw, you know, when they did the raid at his two homes, one in LA, one in Miami last weekend, people were saying they don't usually publicize that, and usually they'll tip off the media that it's happening. But when you hear people that are in law enforcement say that's normal, but we don't see that normally.
It's not normal.
That's their
normal response when it's like this, but it's not normal.
Yeah.
I don't know if you had a chance. Did you hear about the and I don't even know if you have it on here, but the documentary on Nickelodeon?
Yeah. Yeah.
Woo, baby.
I know.
I was in here like, what?
Right. That was all we were talking about that last week. We were gonna talk about it last week. We didn't end up having a show, but that's gotten crazy. We have Adam, he's jumping in now. Adam, we're talking about the Diddy, you know, now they're subpoenaing the flights that he's taking, you know, private flights. We know last week they did the raids on his home, and they're saying this is normal, but we don't usually see this happening to most people, you know, when they're going through all this stuff. What are your thoughts on all this?
Yeah, actually, it's kind of interesting. I saw this all happen in the news, and then I think BBC had an article about kind of Diddy's past. And I actually forgot he had that whole gun charge in 1999 when he was dating Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah.
So I guess long story short, I don't know, you know, it seems like he has a history of kind of something being in this kind of world. I'm still trying to process it all. It's a lot to take in, but I mean, they probably have something. I mean, again, he's done a lot of the stuff in the past. I know, of course, internet rumors swirl with, like, was he involved with the Tupac, and did he actually have communications and all that? You know, there's a lot of conspiracy theories that are always around Tupac anyway, but
That's an ambiguity, yeah, all that, yeah, as always.
Exactly. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I think, again, I'm not too up to speed on everything, but assault charges, if true, are going to be very interesting. And if they raided his house, they must do something.
Yeah. And, you know, what I would think about this is that, you know, the whole Cassie thing, you know, they were together for a long time, over a decade. And the fact that they settled the day after it went public, you know, my mom always said, well, there's smoke, there's fire, you know. But I'm curious to see what happens. Linnea, do you see this being a thing?
I mean, it's already a thing.
Right.
The only people that I was covering for are his children.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they are directly affected by this.
Right.
And even if it's, you know, let's just say it's a complete witch hunt.
Right.
The damage has already been done to them.
Yeah.
For a long time. And how do you repair that moving forward? Because there have been certain words that have been used in regards to this situation.
Right.
That once you tack on those words, even if it ain't true, it stays with you.
Yeah.
And that's dangerous. It's super dangerous. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's been on, has he been on social media? I don't know.
Well, I don't think he's been on the, well, he posted a video of his daughter a few weeks ago, but recently he was in Miami and someone posted him saying he's the king of Miami and they posted him on there. But here's the thing I think about, so Albie Shore, you know, which is his oldest son's biological father, he posted, come home, it's safe here. And he's supposed to be releasing a documentary about his life and why he went into a coma. And a lot of people think it has something to do with Diddy. I don't know. But,
right. Well, that goes to conspiracy theories that Adam just mentioned.
Yeah.
Because we don't know.
Right.
I don't think that we'll ever know, but everyone has whatever they call their version of their truth.
That's true.
So more people will come out because there was, oh my God, it was a shooting in a club in New York many moons ago, the shooting that Shine ended up going to jail for.
And the woman said that Diddy shot her, not Shine. Said
that Diddy shot her. But if that's the case, I'm talking about for her, you knew that they were going to send that man to jail, and he spent a good portion of his life in jail.
So
if that's not who really shot you, and you never said anything, and now all of a sudden, this is what I mean by people jumping on bandwagons.
Yeah,
because then you don't know how to dissect what can be true and what's not true, and that happened so long ago. But I just had that conversation with Jay, and I was like, you know what's crazy? Sometimes it's interesting how the universe works, because for Shine, even though he went to jail, look at the position that he's in now.
Yeah.
So you got a portion of your life taken away, but you changed.
He's
for him to be where he's at now, I know that he is thanking the Most High that he didn't stay in that situation, even though he got in a bad situation and ended up spending all that time in prison.
Yeah, that's true. We'll see what happens with this. It seems like it's an ongoing thing. They're bringing out old interviews. I saw one from Usher from 2016 talking about his life growing up with Diddy when he first made it big. And at the time, all the people know what they're saying, but it's all coming back. So we'll see what happens with the story. All right, we'll say Donald Trump is now in the business of selling Bibles. Trump recently announced his partnership with country music singer Lee Greenwood in his efforts to utilize his song, God Bless America. Trump said in the video on social media that all Americans need a Bible in their homes, and I have many. It's my favorite book. That's a lot of people's favorite book. And the Bible is covered in the American flag as well as Trump's endorsement of the text that Christians consider to be sacred. Now, this is the latest hustle. Remember, he recently tried to sell tennis shoes because I guess he thought black people would buy his shoes because, you know, we like shoes. Adam, did you get your Trump Bible? Because, you know, they're like $60 and everyone said you can get a Bible from the hotel for free. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I don't want to spoil it, but I did get you guys these Bibles for Christmas this year. So just early spoilers, but yeah, I'm sure it's full of typos and misspellings and everything that could go wrong. It's probably rewritten with him as the savior in the end or something like that. You know, it's the same with his new stock listing for his social media. I mean, people are going to buy it.
They will. That's the thing.
A hustler is always a hustler, and he's going to keep pawning it off. And people are going to, his base will buy it. I mean, people, I think he gets a lot of his income these days from small money purchases. People who can afford $60 here and there, and people who can buy maybe a few stocks of his company. And that's going to keep them in business, and they'll never see anything out of it. And they'll get probably a second-rate Bible that's going to fall apart in like 2 years on them. But, you know, they believe the cause. So, I mean, what a hustle.
Right. And Bibles are so much cheaper than that. Here's the $60. Anil, what are your thoughts on this? Mind you, remember, we just found out he couldn't afford the bail that he had to pay. Of course, it was reduced, but at the time, he couldn't afford it. What are your thoughts on this Bible hustle?
The first word that comes to mind is blasphemy.
Yeah.
Hypocrisy. Because this man has said it out loud. He don't believe in God. He don't believe in none of that.
Two Corinthians.
The playing with.
Yeah.
This like I'm a spiritual person.
Yeah.
I believe in a higher power, and the playing with just really irks my soul to the core.
Yep.
Because he playing in your face.
Right.
And it's like, I'm playing in your face. Y'all see I'm playing in your face. I'm telling you I'm playing in your face. But you still gonna give me your money. If that ain't snake oil salesman, I don't know what is.
Mm-hmm.
And for anyone who does buy it, you're probably going to burn as soon as you get it. It's going to like combust.
as soon as
you get it. Good luck to you. I'm not even going to send prayers to you because you don't deserve them.
Right.
I'm going to reserve my prayers for people who deserve. I know Lord say you got to pray for everybody. I ain't messing with that. No, sir. I'm good.
Well, Adam, you said it great. You said that most of his donors are low. They do owe donations. That's where he gets most of his money from. And these people, a Bible is not $60. You know what I mean? So it's like, think about it.
Like you said, it's free. You go to the hotel, it's
free.
Yeah. So I don't know.
That is scary. That is so scary.
Very much so. Well, Beyonce has reportedly boosted Dolly Parton's streams following the release of her new album, Cowboy Carter. So according to chart data, Dolly Parton has surpassed 20 million monthly listeners on Spotify for the first time in her career following the release of Beyonce's new album. As we previously reported, Beyonce's entry album into the country music genre, Cowboy Carter, was released on March 29th and has already shattered records streaming platforms. After the Texas Hold'em singer dropped her new album, Spotify said it became the platform's most streamed album single in 2024. So we already heard that when she released the single that, it catapulted other Black country artists. And now Dolly Parton, who's part of, she redid Jolene, which is Dolly's classic. What do you think about the power of Beyonce? Because, they talk about Taylor Swift, and I hate comparing them, but they talk about the power of these artists. And now that she's making legends like Dolly Parton, who is a country music queen, now her numbers have gone up. Linnea, what do you think about this?
I knew Dolly gave her blessings when Dolly tweeted when she first made the announcement
yep.
about doing a country album. Yeah. When Dolly tweeted, that's when I knew Dolly gave her blessings. And there was a conversation that was had about, I wonder if she gonna do Jolene. If she do Jolene, oh my God. And mm-hmm. she did it her way.
She did her, she didn't do it from the person's gonna be cheated on. She's threatening Jolene. Don't come over here.
She did it because Dolly, there's a clip that surfaced when Dolly was talking about Jolene and how Jolene beat her ass.
Right.
But she kept her husband. But Beyonce's version is different.
Yeah.
In the aspect of, oh, I got something for you,
Jolene.
If you want to. And I can't, once Dolly did that, I knew without even, I said, oh, she, it's either she got Dolly Parton on there.
Yeah.
Or she's using one of her best songs, and Jolene is the best song that she could have picked.
Yeah.
For her to do.
Yeah.
I have not had the chance to listen to the full album. But I do love the fact that she tapped into, she shut down a lot, because what happened was when she announced it, everybody was like, oh, well, it was other Black country people.
Right.
And fooled y'all, how many of y'all think she got on her album?
Right.
Kept it a secret.
Willie Nelson.
That she's meticulous.
Yeah.
She is methodical.
Yeah.
She is intentional. Mm-hmm. That woman know what she doing. And that's how you hit people. You ain't got to post every day. I got y'all. I get you all revved up and juiced up. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what she did. And I say kudos. That's marketing.
Yeah.
Period.
And she paid homage to the first Black country artist, you know, who originated country music. Adam, what do you think about Beyonce taking up the space? Because they said that she actually recorded this album before the Renaissance album that came out last year that dominated. She recorded this one first. What do you think about now Dolly Parton sales going up? Because Dolly Parton did an interview 2 years ago where she said, I want Beyonce to do Jolene. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, they say when a rising tide lifts all boats. So, yeah, this is great for Dolly. I know Dolly is one of those people, and I don't remember what the name of the scale is, but there's like the celebrity likability index, which
everybody
like how much of a celebrity you are and how likable you are.
Yep,
so,
yep.
Like, Dolly is like probably, I think, the top of that list, and she's just great. And she loves working with people. I mean, even going back to the 90s or maybe late 80s with Whitney Houston, you know, I Will Always Love You as a Dolly Parton song.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, that put Dolly Parton probably back on the map in that time period when she was kind of winding down her career. So this is it again. Dolly Parton is going to be ever present, and she's always supportive, and she's always nice. And so, you know, even if Dolly didn't need the exposure, people are going to appreciate her, and it gives you a chance. I always like when I hear a different version of a song, because I think Whitney Houston's version of I Will Always Love You is better than Dolly's. I like Dolly's. It's such a different tone, such a different kind of vibe. It's two different songs, really.
Right.
And I haven't heard this version of Jolene, but again, it's cool because you get to see how two different artists interpret the same work and kind of make it their own. So yeah, kudos to them. And it's exciting.
Dolly is a great businesswoman. I remember when Whitney Houston passed away, she did an interview and she thanked Whitney Houston for covering her song. She got backlash because they're like, it's Whitney Houston's song. She said it could be whoever's song. And Dolly got the money.
Exactly.
Whoever song is gonna be, but Dolly is just one of those people, like you said, everyone likes, because she does her best to be inclusive, her best to just do her music. You know, she doesn't really talk a lot of politics, although during 2020 she did speak out Black Lives Matter. She said, you think our little white ass know anything that matters, you know what I mean? But she's one of those people that just really, she gets it right every time. And I love to see this for her in her career in her late 70s, having Beyonce. But like you said, she's done it with Whitney Houston and other people. So kudos to Dolly. All right. So you know the term pause. That's usually when someone says something that may be quote unquote gay, they say pause. And then they say, then it went from pause to no homo. Well, now the latest thing is no Diddy. And it was interesting. So Mace did an interview recently, or he was on his podcast, I'm sorry, and he said no Diddy. That's a whole different story. But what do you think about this new phrase, no Diddy? Adam?
I don't like it. I don't know. I just feel like it's for many reasons, and not just because I'm an old person now. You know, new lingo really has to, I feel like, has some staying power. This, first of all, doesn't, I don't think. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, I that whole kind of the old, you know, no homo phrase, which is what this is kind of playing off of, is, you know, very negative. It's very insulting to that community. So I don't think just giving it another name is really, it's cute, and you know, you might get like likes here and there and Instagram retweets or whatever, but yeah, I hate it. I think it's just like, let's not be negative in that sense, and let's not pull in you know, kind of recent events just because you want some more likes on your your feed.
Yeah. And Adam, did you have a birthday recently?
I did.
It was what, Saturday or Sunday?
It was last Wednesday, actually.
Last Wednesday. Okay. Well, happy belated. I saw your wife. I saw Abby celebrating. I was like, did I know it was his birthday? But happy belated birthday.
Well, you're out every week. So, you know, we didn't get to celebrate your birthday either.
Oh, I know. Well, anyway, we'll talk about birthday later. Lania, what do you think about no Diddy?
Absolutely, positively not. It's an in the moment thing. And of course, you know, because Mace has a connection to this whole Diddy situation, you know, that was a way for him to capitalize, you know, off of the moment in regards to what's going on.
Yeah.
I actually say pause at times, you know, for just silly stuff.
Right.
I don't do the no homo one, but pause, I say that. So I'm cool on the no Diddy. I will not be saying that. Because it's too close to no diggity, no doubt. And I like So I don't want to mess with that song. I don't want to put the bad, negative kind of taste.
Right.
No diggity, no doubt.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was interesting that May said it. Sometimes I wonder when people know more than we think they know, you know, what happened back in the day. But well, Alabama Governor Kay Ivey has signed a bill into to ban diversity, equity, and inclusion DEI programs. According to the Associated Press, the legislation would exclude the programs from public schools, institutions of higher learning, and state agencies. So this bill was signed last Wednesday, or 2 Wednesdays ago, excuse me, and will go into effect October 1st. It would ban teaching of diversity concepts. And this has reportedly prevented individuals from feeling guilty about race and gender. She says, my administration has and will continue to value Alabama's rich diversity. However, I refuse to allow a ban of bad actors on college campuses or whoever or wherever other or whatever else matters. Excuse me. So the whole purpose of this is that we don't want to talk about it because we want to make people feel guilty for their families or their you know, of the past. We always heard that if you hide history, then it repeats. Linnea, what do you think about this?
There's been a strategic play to do away with anything that talks about the history of the United States of America and the treatment of, you know, especially Black people. And it was even more like, you know, the word woke was demonized. DEI is now being demonized as a bad thing. And the fact that it was put in the same connotation with everything that just happened in Baltimore and how it was like, you know, they were like, oh, the DEI mayor of Baltimore didn't earn it. That's the new, acronym for it. And you took that moment of what, of this catastrophe that just happened to say he didn't earn it. And as Joy Reid said, he ran a campaign People voted for him. He won. And like he said in his response, duly elected incumbent.
Yeah.
And most likely, you probably don't know what that means. So he earned it.
Yeah.
Nothing has been given. So it's like, it's just trying to just do away with anything relating to us. It's a hurt piece because we already talk about what's going on in the colleges and taking these DEI programs and trying to shut down HBCUs.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? You know what I mean? Like, how do you fight or combat the machine that has, well, it been started. Let's clarify that. It started a long time ago. And because now certain people were put into place, you know, those dominoes were lined up and now they're starting to fall, you know, just drastically. And it's scary. We always talk about it being scary.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what do you do with that?
Yeah.
And how do you maneuver through everything that's going on right now? I don't know. I don't
right. know. Because it starts with, you know, rights for minorities, but also women, and then LGBTQ, and then every other. They're pulling back those rights. Adam, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think there's a certain push for this to kind of take back progress, right? Everything's trying to push back the clock, and It's a tough thing, right? How do you fight it? And you just have to keep fighting it, right? Like there's always going to be the bad actors. There's always going to be people who want to take away the rights of anyone that's not them or their group or their party or their looks or whatever. And it's a shame. It's tough that it's happening, especially in the South, you know, conservative states where they can get away with this and they have they control both houses of whatever, you know, and they can kind of move forward with these. But again, it's just building the awareness and keep fighting this so the next generation can do something better, perhaps.
Absolutely. You know, I was in Charleston for my birthday. I went to Charleston to celebrate, and we went on this tour and talk about the history of slavery in Charleston. And I think it was the late 1800s or early 1900s, there were like 70 Black people and like 40 white people who came together in government. And they came up with the most progressive laws for race relations, women. And they, you know, but the Great Restoration happened. So they went, because that was supposed to be the foundation for all the South. The Great Restoration happened. They eradicated all those laws, and then they made sure they didn't put it in history books so people never know what ever happened. So people have been trying to come together for a long time to work together. And so, but again, it shows you, again, once when history is not taught, it can repeat itself. And, you know, we become, like, I didn't even know women rights in that time in Charleston, they were ready to do it, you know, but there was a few bad actors and it never happened. So we got to make sure you know who you're voting for, the local elections as well as the federal elections. So it's so important. So important. All right. Well, Chick-fil-A has announced that fast food restaurant, because, you know, a lot of people think Chick-fil-A is like the healthiest, one of the healthiest fast food chains. Well, they're making some changes to the menu. Officials at Chick-fil-A made a statement and said they are moving to use no antibiotics important to human medicine. So it's a whole acronym. According to WSB-TV, it will be switching to no antibiotics ever. So apparently, I saw this, that they said that the, you know, chicken sandwich at Chick-fil-A, it has 50 ingredients in it. So now they're looking to take away those antibiotics. Adam, I don't know if you're a Chick-fil-A connoisseur, but what do you think about them going to just regular chicken?
I mean, I wish I was a connoisseur of Chick-fil-A, but I don't eat it enough up here. But I will say, we'll see. I guess, I don't know if I could taste the difference. So it's like, it's too early to tell. I mean, I guess, you know, no antibiotics is probably better. Yeah. You know, it's for better than for what we eat, for sure. Right. Less chemicals. Will it change the taste enough that it matters? I don't know. But even if it does a little bit, you know, Chick-fil-A, their chicken sandwiches are miles ahead of, I think, anywhere else. Yeah. Chick-fil-A. So even if it goes down in quality, it's still going to be better than, you know, the KFC or the Wendy's chicken sandwich, I believe. So, yeah, we'll see.
I always felt good going to Chick-fil-A. I'm like, this is the healthiest fast food I can eat. And now we hear about all this stuff. Linnea, what are your thoughts?
So my boyfriend is a vegan. He's been vegan.
He's vegan? Okay.
Yeah, he's been vegan 3 years now. And he is always trying to get me to convert. I'm working on it because of him why I read labels more.
Yeah.
One of the things that a nutritionist said was, if the ingredients are a paragraph, there's too many damn ingredients.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when you eat out, you don't know, because you don't know the ingredients, you don't know the calories,
right?
And what you're getting. So it's kind of hard when you eat out. But as you get older, and I know I can't speak for y'all, but I know getting older and tapping into fast food ain't the same when I was young. Because them bubble guts start bubbling and my life get ready to change for a little while. And I'd be like, oh my God, I shouldn't have ate that.
Right.
Yep.
So, you know, that in and of itself, like, at some point, we got to be like, nah, we can't touch that stuff. We gotta try to make versions of our own.
Right.
And I'm trying all kinds of vegan recipes, you know, to see what I like that I can substitute for things that I really do enjoy. You know, outside of, I don't eat the Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich, and after this conversation I probably never will. Thank you. But I do mess with they waffle fries though.
Yes, they're good. You know, so this is a little off subject. I decided I went to get some fries the other day from Wendy's. And I was in the line and I was starving because all I had was breakfast that morning. And I ended up getting a combo from Wendy's. I got back to the house and they give me a chicken wrap. I got a fried chicken sandwich. Chicken wrap fries. I said, probably was the best thing for me. But yeah, I felt better. But it's interesting because you don't know what's in these foods. You don't know what's in the foods that you order. You don't know. Well, speaking of not knowing what's in the foods, our last story. So there's a 12-year-old Michigan boy. He had gone to Outback Steakhouse. And he ordered a virgin strawberry daiquiri. They gave him a real daiquiri. And he was hospitalized. Mm-hmm. Of course, Outback apologized for it. And they said this is very serious. And they thank the child involved that was not seriously harmed. Adam, I know you don't have any children yet, but if you and your wife went to Outback and you had a child and they gave him liquor, what would you do?
Well, you know the Outback motto, no rules, just right. So, I mean, that's life on the Outback, you know? That's the risk you have to take when you're out in the Outback. Yeah, I would. I probably would be upset. There's a big trend, and I think a lot of bars and restaurants figured this out, is just offering virgin versions of their cocktails.
Right.
And that's, I'm not going to blame them. You know, obviously whoever served it made a mistake, but it's very easy to get those confused. And, you know, if you're offering virgin daiquiris or pina coladas, it might happen, and it's a risk, right? Again, everyone should be aware. And I know the family said they don't drink alcohol, so they couldn't tell that there's alcohol in it. Understandably, again, it's this, you know, quality control on your people, but also you know, these restaurants are offering too many of these mocktail style drinks for kids to just divulge in. And let's not even get started with the amount of sugar in those drinks already, right? For these kids, they shouldn't be drinking it anyway. I think if the kid didn't get sick and it happened to me, I would be fine, but the kid getting sick was kind of the big, like, that's where you go too far.
I would think the little kid would take that first sip like, ooh. Linnea, you're a mother. What would you do in this situation?
Lord, forgive me. The first thing that came to my mind was an episode of Good Times when Michael when Michael drunk the health tonic that Florida was supposed to do a commercial of.
Yeah.
And he got drunk because they didn't realize it was alcohol. It was alcohol in it. So it wasn't Vita Bright, it was Vita Boo. Michael was drunk. That's the first thing that came to my mind.
Right.
I can't even, you know, one of the things, the line in here, that's why I said, Lord, forgive me. It says, the boy was eventually taken to the hospital as his body began to react to the alcohol. What the hell does that mean?
Right.
What does that mean? As his body began to react to the alcohol. What does that mean?
Alcohol hit.
Yeah, I have a feeling it was very alcoholic. That's my assumption.
It was like they gave an extra shot.
Yes, I think that's basically what it is.
The whole thing. Did he drink the whole?
That's what I'm thinking. When he took that first, he was like, "Oh."
But from what I could have swore, it said that people, other people who were with him, tasted it to him because they're not drinkers. So it didn't hit y'all. It only hit him.
Well, listen, let me tell a quick story. When I didn't drink in college at all, right? And so I had gone out of town with some friends, and I didn't realize they had spiked my drink. I didn't know this. I said, this soda is strong. But I drank it. I drank it. So maybe they didn't know. Maybe they didn't know. Really? I didn't know. I didn't drink. I didn't drink at all back then. I said, this soda is strong.
I will say those cocktails like the pina coladas and whatever this was, they can mix it where you can't really taste a lot of times.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I'm so happy Chike is not on because he was so be cussing me out.
And Chike was on.
I am the queen of making drinks. And when I make drinks,
you wouldn't even know it.
You won't know you're on your ass until you're on your ass. So I'm happy he's not here because he would be like, oh, this one, right?
All right.
He set people up. That's what he did. So I'm going to slide up out of this conversation.
We're going to slide out of it.
Yeah, I'm going to slide out of it.
Well, Anita, thank you as always for Hot Topics. Love your take. And TK, Adam, I will see your movie reviews. We'll be back after this.
Yeah. Yeah, Bella shout out, she from overseas. Valentino lingo when she talk to me. And she drippy Gucci on her feet. Yeah, she show me love when she comforts me. Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, she active. I hit it, I smash it. That thing fantastic, you know. In my fast whip, 200 on dash and wall. Yeah, we going dumb, so you know she roll with us. You don't got a man, girl. She elite, she a hottie, I'm a fan, girl. Ooh, love that shit. Love that shit. Ooh, love that shit. Love that shit. Ooh, love that shit you do. Love that shit you do. Yeah, you know, yeah. Love that shit you do, yeah.
Most anticipated, yeah. She on Perkins, we on Zanny, getting faded, yeah. Whoa. Still right on my mission, yeah. For real. That's working to them bands, turn your bitch into a fan. Yeah. Don't forget I'm trippy, yeah. I'm wanting more commas, he wanting more follows, yeah.
For real.
They don't want no drama, yeah.
No.
VMG the gang and I put BBs in my chain, yeah. Ooh, love that shit. I love that shit. Ooh, love that shit. Love that shit.
Ooh, love that shit you do. Love that shit you do. Ooh. Yeah, you know. Yeah. Love that shit you do, yeah.
But I ain't no place and now I know that she likes that. Designer base, Prada, Saffiano, night bag. She wanna stay for the weekend, and she might pull up in a race, but a case of the white. I've been navigating, now I'm in a race. I think we vibing, but it could be a phase. Though she'll get what she wants if I get what I want.
Love that shit. Ooh, love that shit. Love that shit. Ooh.
Few cigarettes I have left to manage my stress. Alcohol from my breath that burns through my chest. And these Percocets I invest to handle my reasons why. I normally don't, now I usually do pull up another one, usually two, with a Lucy too. Myself all by myself, yeah, needing time to think on why I would ever need it, you. If I'm replacing you, no, I don't, I'll need you. Do enough till I never have to feel you. No, I don't, I'll need you. Double up if I ever really need to. I'm sipping out the fan, I'm going to, like I got down. Pour it up till I'm on another planet. And all I needed now is something around to help to cool me. Gotta cool me down. Roll a loose leaf, I'm ready, trying to smoke, invite it to me. Now I got a bitch rubbing on a tits, let her go down. Bliss with a heavy wrist, semi-top with a top bliss. What you sipping on, let me get down. I'm living my life like I'm on top five. Billboard on the charts with a high ride. Yeah, everybody listens to the top now. Shorty, you missed out, shorty, you missed out. I used to get this and now I kick a bitch out. No, I don't, I'll need you. Do enough till I never have to feel you. No, I don't, I'll need you. Double up if I ever really need to.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. Adam, you're holding it down tonight. Chick is out. What did you watch?
Oh, well, so I have to catch up on some things that we watched over the past few weeks. But my first question to you is, do you remember, and you're he's probably too young just like me, so I wish Chicky was on because he could tell us, Freaknik. Did you ever go?
I watched that on Saturday.
Okay, good. Yeah. We're going to talk about that here. Yeah. So that's what the first thing I watched was Freaknik, The Wildest Party Never Told. And for anyone unfamiliar with this, it's Freaknik was the black college spring break that happened since 1983, which I didn't even know it was around that long.
I didn't either.
For listeners, this is on Hulu if you want to watch this documentary. But it really traces the roots back to the DC Metro Club in Washington, D.C. that came down and decided to host a picnic in Atlanta in Piedmont Park. And over the years, it grew into this crazy party. And by crazy party, I mean, this was like the place to be. This was the Spring Break location in Atlanta. And it really, from the sounds of the documentary, and there's a lot of factors that kind of put Atlanta on the map, including the Olympics and, you know, the hip hop scene. But
yeah,
Breakneck was a big part of it. And this movie kind of recounts the story of the people who created it and the people who grew up in the area. And again, I was too young for it, but I remember actually hearing about it because I grew up in Atlanta. And so we would hear it on the news. My parents.
So you heard about it as growing someone that grew up in Atlanta. You heard about it.
Yeah, we heard about it in real time. And, you know, they mentioned the mayor at the time, Bill Campbell, talking about Freaknik and stuff like that. I just remember seeing it as a kid. I'm like, oh, this sounds like something cool and crazy. But of course, you know, I'm like 10 years old, so I'm not going anywhere. In the city, but yeah, that it was a very present Atlanta thing growing up, just hearing about it and it shutting down. And yeah, this documentary kind of covers it and how it's kind of how it got so big. And then of course, you know, a lot of non-college kids were going to it, and the Olympics and the optics and how like the mayor at the time was going to kind of shut it down. I will say, so I did enjoy it. And again, I think if for anyone interested in that kind of slice of the 90s, because that's when that was peak Freaknik, and we're in a big 90s kick right now in culture. So, you know, go watch it and learn about it. I will say a couple things, though. I wish we heard more from the creators, because they made a big scene at the beginning of like, oh, we're all getting together and this is our first time seeing each other in so many years. And then you'd only get little snippets of them throughout the story. I wish we could hear them talk about it more. And then two, it kind of sputtered out in the end, where it's like this guy decided that the trademark was available because Adult Swim had a show with T-Pain and Freaknik, and that trademark expired and they're trying to bring it back. And people at the end were like, yeah, you can't bring it back, which is true. I think you know, it did capture a moment in time, like they say in the documentary, before the internet, before cell phones, when really it was.
Thank God.
Yes. A lot of people were talking about that, like, oh, if they had cell phones back then, and that's why you can't get it now, right? You're not gonna get away with any of the kind of goofiness and silliness. But it was also interesting to hear about, like, Outkast, and they're passing their tape out in 1994 because their album just came out like the week before, and like early marketing, and like really, it's cool to see. Giving your album out to all these people who are college students, and they're going to go back all the way across the country to their schools, and your music is getting distributed out there. And I do think that played a big factor in the Atlanta hip hop scene. Again, you know, the documentary plays it, and we had Usher for a little while too. And like, we had some of that already, but yeah, it was kind of cool just to kind of get the input from people. What did you think?
I thought, you know, it was interesting because, you know, when they first announced this documentary, people were trying to get it. They were boycotting it. They were like, people are, we're now attorneys, we're judges, we don't want to see us on documentary busting it open. You know? But I did think they did a good job with, you know, they showed some faces, but they really kind of made it more about the event and about the people, you know what I mean? And, but listen, I remember hearing about Freaknik, but again, we were younger, so, you know, it wasn't anything of our time, but people talked about it. I remember one point they talked about bringing it back, and I don't think it ever did. But yeah, it was definitely a wild time for what we could see in the documentary. And thank God cell phones and social media wasn't as prevalent as it is now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it was, and again, we'll have to ask Chike when he comes back if he ever got involved with it. But it was very interesting the way they kind of shut it down was just making traffic so bad that the college kids were like, I don't want to come back to here. It wasn't fun. I was sitting in the road on the interstate for hours in a parking lot. And so, you know, I whatever you feel about the city's tactics on it, it was very interesting to see that they didn't ban it. They just really made it not fun difficult to be around anymore.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, it's fun. It's fun to see, again, Atlanta back in those days. Yeah. They, when the lady's like, oh, you know, the Daisy Dukes, these were not Daisy Dukes. These were beyond that. I was like,
right.
You watch the clip. Like,
you're right. You're right.
Yeah. So highly recommend if you're looking for a nice, like, fun documentary to watch. And switching gears, actually, let's the next thing I saw was Shirley. So this was the latest Netflix release with Regina King starring
her first comeback since her son passed away.
Yeah, yeah. And Regina King is one of those people that can transform into any role, and she knocks it out of the park with this. She plays, for anyone unaware, Congressperson Shirley Chisholm, who decided in 1972 to run for president. And she was a congressperson from a New York neighborhood. And it's really her story of how she kind of wanted to challenge the system and really go out there. And Regina King does a great job. Actually, all the actors do a good job. This is it's a good story. It's really like I did enjoy it. I will say, and I didn't think about it too much at the time, but there's a lot of that, like, if you're into those political, like, counting delegates and we gotta get this percentage, we gotta campaign here, you'll like this. It lost me a little bit there where they're trying to do math, and not that there's anything wrong with math in movies, but you know, I'm trying to enjoy things and I'm not trying to figure out how many delegates people need. But again, it was a good ride, and I think, you know, Regina King, she'll keep at it. And another notable person is Lance Reddick, and I don't know if this was his last film. I'd have
to before he passed away.
Yeah, he does a great job in this. And Terrence Howard, too. It took me a while to recognize Terrence Howard. Because he's usually playing such a commanding role, and in this, he's just like a normal, everyday person. So, highly enjoy, though. So if you're looking for another, if you have streaming series to watch or film to watch, check that one out.
I liked it, too. You know, I was excited when I first saw it because I had seen a documentary on Shirley Chisholm. But I saw an article where they bashed the movie. They said it should have been great, but it wasn't. But the thing is, they were complaining about so much being left out the movie. This is a person's life. You can't hit on every note. They were saying how when she had the argument with her husband about the money, she wanted to put more money towards the campaign, and then they didn't talk much more about it. Then you find out they're divorced. They wanted to dig deeper. You cannot get someone's life in a 2-hour movie. You know what I mean? But I think what was interesting to know that I didn't know this, Adam, is that she had divorced her husband after the campaign and married Terrence Howard's character.
I saw that. I read that. So to your point, Stephen, no one should expect a full biography in a 2-hour movie. What the movie should do is encourage you to read more about the person and learn about them. And you're that's right, too. It's so funny because, you know, they didn't really hint at it too much in the movie. But she divorced him and married her campaign.
And two years later, it was quick.
There was a lot of something going on that we did not see in the movie.
Well, I thought it was a good movie. And I love the way that it showed, even in that time, how people of different backgrounds and, you know, lifestyles came together for that cause. You know what I mean? And I don't think she ever thought she was going to win. I think it was more so, I'm going to make a statement. You know what I mean? And people believed it.
And again, and it's whoever played the young girl who also becomes a senator later. One of the most important parts in the movie, because even then, you still have people who say, "Oh, I don't want to register a vote because my vote doesn't count." And that's not true. Keep registering. Make sure you're out there, even on election days that may be like insignificant. Go out there and do your voting.
They're important.
This woman, she was just a college kid that didn't even care about being part of the system, and now she's in it, and she's making
now money. She's in it.
And then the only other thing is, so I mentioned last time I was watching The Gentleman, the Guy Ritchie Netflix series. I finished that up. It's fun. It's good. If you like Guy Ritchie, you like those gangster British style shows, I won't go into too many details, but I did enjoy it. Lots of fun, lots of action, lots of little British shenanigans. What do you expect from a Guy Ritchie movie? So, and it's Guy Ritchie series. So definitely check it out if you're a fan of that.
Absolutely. I know the war season is completely over. Anything coming down the pipeline?
Yeah, there's a couple, and I can't think of them right now. But I will say one thing I do want to watch, and it's been on Netflix already for probably a week or so, is The Three Body Problem. If anyone's been hearing about this, this is getting a lot of hype. It's based on a sci-fi novel, and it's actually, it's a famous sci-fi series. There's three books in the series, and it's highly regarded, but it's also done famously by the people who did Game of Thrones. And so if we forget how Game of Thrones ended and see how it began and how it reached its height, you got really good cast and good production behind it, and a lot of people have been liking it. So it's all on Netflix. I just haven't had a chance to start it, but that's high on my radar.
Absolutely. Well, listen, thank you so much for letting us know what to spend our time and money on and what not to, and we'll be back next week. Thank you, Adam.
All right, thanks.
We're right back up. Right back after this.
Text you late night when you laying down. Phone start ringing, you don't hear a sound. I've been working all day. I know you working all night. I hope it's not too late. Yeah. I'ma call you anyway, hoping that you still awake. Yeah. I've been thinking about you every day. Text you late night when you laying down. Phone start ringing, you don't hear a sound. I've been working all day. Know you're working all night. I hope it's not too late. Yeah. But I'ma call you anyway, hoping that you're still awake. Yeah. I've been thinking about you every day.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Too late. Too late. Baby, am I too late? Yeah. Baby, am I too late? Yeah, yeah.
Baby, am I too late?
Am I too late?
To touch you on your very place. Baby, am I too late?
Tell me.
Can we pick another day? Can we pick another night?
Yeah.
Maybe on a Tuesday. Too late.
Tuesday.
Yeah. Every part of your body is like a premonition. You give me chills and goosebumps. Your beauty a killer, I tell her to do some. Yeah. Attraction for me is beyond sex. Whole nother level for me is beyond next. And if I'm being honest, expression affection just feels odd.
You call me pet names, the pumpkin, the cutie pie. But this hot girl summer got me more icy. I can't trust no one, it's no. Not likely. No, it's not likely. Yeah, but I'm trying. Yeah, I'm trying. Yeah, I'm trying. Girl, I'm trying.
Beautiful for my soul. Let's lose our minds and our clothes. It's hard to fuck with these hoes, cause no one knows what you know. Out of body experience. Love your mind and your body is serious. Oh, yeah. Can't even say I love you back, but I got your back. My heart is cracked, so hard for me to act on it. I gave this bitch my heart before she turned her back on it. XX heart eat it, she gonna snack on it. Girl turn around and let a nigga smack on it. Girl say you ain't here to pass, they smoking that crack. Cause my shorty get passenger and she gon' ride like a drive-by. No mask in her, I'm tryna fuck till you cry up your mascara. I want your beauty and your beast, I want the whole thing, every single last piece. I don't wanna keep you home, but I don't want you to sleep alone. I don't wanna eat alone, why not bring a friend along? Text you late night when you laying down. Phone start ringing, you don't hear a sound. I've been working all day. I know you're working all night. I hope it's not too late. Yeah. I'ma call you anyway, hoping that you're still awake. Yeah. I've been thinking about you every day. Text you late night when you laying down. The phone start ringing, you don't hear a sound. I've been working all day. Know you're working all night. I hope it's not too late. Yeah. But I'ma call you anyway, hoping that you're still awake.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about you every day.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, too late. Too late. Baby, am I too late? Yeah. Baby, am I too late? Yeah. Yeah.
What's up? This is your girl, Angie Stone, and you're listening to The Stephen Knight Show. Keep it locked.
Welcome back to The Stephen Knight Show. Now it's time to highlight our Black-owned business. I was in Charleston recently for my birthday, and I did this tour over the slavery in Charleston, South Carolina. And the person that toured name was Damon Foreman, and I bought his book. He did the tour. And he has several books. I think he has about four or five books. I'll put a link in the bio of this video, but the one I bought was called the 1895 Segregation Fight. He has other ones about the history of Charleston, and he's well-versed in all things as relates to civil rights, slavery, and whatnot. So I wanted to highlight him in our segment tonight. Again, his name is Damon Foreman. Again, I'll be linking the bio of this video. But thank you for joining us tonight. Hope you have a great week, and we'll see you again next Monday. Good night.